should I be best? Cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to do. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have the dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever take you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
See, I sound a lot better when you don't interrupt. That's what I'll blame it on, right? And my singing got better?
It's always my fault.
Well, that's natural deflector. I even made the sound effects like in the movie. I practiced this week with my Karate Kid singing.
Good job.
Thanks. So this is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 30. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Who are you?
Derek Jeter.
Come on.
I'm Tom McLaughlin.
Jeter is the only one. What do they say? I hate the Yankees. Oh, I hate the Yankees, but Jeter is the only one I respect a little bit.
That's appropriate because this episode we're doing the Red Sox. I like that accent.
Oh, the Sox. Oh, fuck. Wicked.
Red Sox.
That's great. So here we are. We're in the middle of our MLB look at. Where we look at teams, again, that's the horrible title I blurted out for this series, and we're sticking to it because we commit at Cap Figure, you know, we don't quit. So we're going to, you know, look at the Red Sox, their last couple seasons, mostly last season, and then look going forward, and then, you know, project whatever they did this offseason and look at them in 2017. Any silly banter before we start?
So, since we're on episode 30.
Oh, yeah. Who's a good 30s?
The player with the most years wearing the number 30 is Tim Raines, who's up for the Hall of Fame again this year. He's probably going to make it in this year. So, he was the most number of years actually playing with the number 30. He's actually the highest WAR as well, accomplished with 30. Notable other number 30s, Nolan Ryan wore the number for 12 years, and Greg Maddux wore it for 2 years with the San Diego Padres at the end of his career.
Ah.
I didn't even remember that he pitched for the Padres.
Me neither, but those are some good ones.
So now you know.
Now you know. The more you know. All right, so Tom, the Red Sox, you know, they're pretty high profile this offseason. I think that we were talking before the episode that even casual baseball fans are somewhat aware of like what the Red Sox are doing if you follow baseball a little, especially given David Ortiz last season. I refuse to call him Big Poppy. I just feel like very white, like Big Poppy. I don't know, dude. So what was their last 3 seasons records? You got that?
I do. So it's kind of easy to forget that this team in 2014 was 71-91. In 2015, they were 78-84. And only this last season did they make the playoffs. They were 93-69. They won the AL East. Obviously, they got bounced, swept in the first round. Or the ALDS. But yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, they really have kind of the main headline of the offseason, which was, you know, this ongoing story of Chris Sale being traded. So obviously, you know, the Red Sox acquired starting pitcher Chris Sale, one of the top, I'd say, 10 starting pitchers in the league. He was definitely the best one available on the trade market. In return.
Wait, you're way jumping ahead. Hold on. So last season, first of all, you skipped 2013. You're all a mess, Tom.
You said last 3 seasons.
I know. I'm just saying. 2013, they won the World Series. I'm not criticizing you for that. Follow with me. Follow my criticism.
Sure.
We'll get to their offseason, mofo. What was the story of their last season? We got to review 2016. It's a format here. There's strict rules and guidelines and regulations, bro.
So you just wanted to back up so you could just let everyone know, you know, that they won in 2013. So, yeah, I mean, 2016, you know, based on the results from 2014 and 2015, you know, they kind of went through a minor rebuild. They definitely didn't call it that. They had a change in the front office, new general manager, and this year was where kind of all of that talent seemed to merge together. You had,
but what do you mean they rebuild just by those things, or because like their players didn't turn over that much, did they?
No, but you know, you really saw
a Red Sox version of a rebuild where they like fire some GMs and buy Pablo Sandoval and Hanley and stuff.
Well, less than that, I think it was more discipline shown after that move of buying Hanley and Pablo, because they could have cut Jeff. They could have kept throwing money at that problem, right? But instead they let, you know, their young players...
You mean the problem of having those bad contracts?
Yeah, and just, you know, I mean, you can always kid yourself into thinking you're one high-profile free agent away. I mean, they did pay David Price, but, you know, they really let young players kind of stick at positions. And, you know, we'll get into it. If you look at their roster, you know, five or six of these position players are... under 26, and you know there were questions about all of them at one point or another, and they've all kind of worked out the kinks.
So to answer my own question, the story of their last season was, I'm being a dick to you, but the story of their last season was they had the best offense in baseball, and then they lost in the ALDS, right? They lost to the Indians, who just got hot sort of, you know, at the right time. David Price, unfortunately, after getting the giant deal, you know, did what he does. He's never won a start in the postseason. And to me, that's the story in a way, is just that they had a disappointing but really exciting season. Anytime you have such a great offense, like you said, Xander Bogaerts had already emerged as shortstops, but he continued to kill it. And Mookie Betts, he was like the industry's like insider MVP sleeper pick before the season, and he was finished second, I believe, in the AL voting for MVP.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he finished second, and you know, I guess if we could go back, my headline would be it's sort of the bookmarking, right? The end of the Ortiz era, and Mookie Betts has really kind of taken that reign. I mean,
that's a good.
This kid, I mean, he's amazing. You look at the MLB. Power hitting rankings that we have from Roster Resource, and thank you for all that information. You guys are great. The first half of the season for all of the MLB, he was the number five hitter. Second half, number two overall. So he was the number one overall power offensive player. So you look at him, you don't think that. But the consistency throughout the year, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's Joe Beningo's stat, but he had a ton of RBIs. Anyway, I don't know. But it's crazy, too, just last on their season before we move on, that, you know, I know I'm talking about before them, but before 2015, when they signed, you know, Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval, both to $100 million contracts close. Like, Pablo got a little under, I believe, but... and it was like, yo, the Red Sox are going to have a softball lineup. And then Hanley didn't play well at all in the field, and Pablo didn't play well. He didn't hit a home run right-handed in years, but like he regressed. And so in a way, that prediction was a year early, but mostly it was because of those two signings that they would take back in a minute today. But then they made it work. And then 2016, they move Hanley, who used to be a shortstop, for anyone who doesn't know. Was not great defensively, but a great MVP caliber hitter. They tried him in left field. He was horrible. Now he played first base, and he had a good year last year. Pablo, on the other hand, ate himself out of the lineup. There was like all this controversy before last season about his weight. He's always been fat, a fat non-power hitter, which should be illegal. And now he looks good again, though, by the way. But so Travis Shaw and Brock Holt or whoever played third, and So now they're in this offseason. Pablo Sandoval, actually, they're still on the hook for this deal. He looks skinny, though. There's a picture of him. He looks too skinny, but maybe he's woken up. You know, they lose David Ortiz, right? So people think that, you know, oh, they might go for Edwin Encarnacion. And it would make a lot of sense. Like, that's where you go in the offseason. These are your holes. And if you want to really go for it, I guess it makes sense that they went for Chris Sale and a starter, because they're always in contention, like the Yankees, for any of those big moves. But the DH thing, it's crazy. The kicker in all of this, and you mentioned it because you're smart and understand the CBA, is that the luxury tax is basically, in my opinion, like the sole reason that they – didn't go for Edwin or like directly replace it, in part, and maybe they thought they could get away with it other ways, but like they got rid of Clay Buchholz basically just as to be under the luxury tax, which is now like a soft cap, like you said.
Yeah.
So I mean, like a new thing. This is the first time in an offseason, really, that that's happening.
You're definitely right. I mean, they would have, in my opinion, they would have signed Encarnacion, and the deal would have been a lot more than the 3 years, $60 million he got from Cleveland if it had not been for that luxury tax threshold. I mean, they're estimated this year to be at 197 already. 200 is really where those enormous taxes start kicking in. But the other issue with that is, you know, they only have $11 million coming off the books after this season. So it would create sort of this problem where they were in this really high tier of luxury tax, not just for this season, but for the next season and probably for the one after that as well. You know, it's an interesting sort of situation because they have all of these young players, as we mentioned, Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, Jackie Bradley Jr., Brock Holt is even, he's just 28. Bogarts is 24. Sandy Leon is 27. Eduardo Rodriguez, 23. I mean, they have a stacked lineup of young position players, but yet the financial flexibility that's supposed to come from that is just not there with this team, and it's because of those bad decisions from the front office before the current group. So they're a little bit tied, hand-tied at the moment, and I think this could create sort of a problem for them in the coming years where these players move up to arbitration or they move out of arbitration and into being a free agent. I mean, when you don't have to pay Xander Bogaerts, say, $2 million a year, but instead you're going to have to pay him $20 million, well, I mean, you're going to have to start making some difficult decisions.
Yeah, it's like what you said, that the players are – this is super a big deal that there's only so many teams who are eligible to be over the luxury tax in the highest levels, right? So but they make up so many of the percentage of dollars in the player pool, those teams, and this is one of them. And so if they're, you know, they have these bad contracts, it does two things, this like soft cap, that we'll call it a soft cap because they're acting like it is, but that one, it makes the Hanley and Pablo deal extra important that they have to work, right? Or else you're just going to maybe dump salary, like eat some of their contract. But, you know, Hanley wasn't bad. It just puts more pressure on that. And David Price, obviously, as well. And now Chris Sale. But also, like you said, they have to do like NFL teams do or something, where it's like plan ahead for when this free agent this, you know, if they really want to stay under it that bad. And they have to, right? What is it? You pay double every dollar over $200 million or something?
Yeah, and then it kicks up. But then it also, with the current CBA, it also flows over into the pool you have to sign international players. So it sort of...
It takes away from that?
Right.
Oh,
so
wow.
It bites you in terms of financial cash flows for the franchise at the moment, but it also hand ties you into, okay, you really can't tap into that elite pool of... international prospects. So it really, you want to avoid that at all costs. One thing that's really interesting to me, you know, I'm just looking at this sheet here of their mapped out sort of salary cap by year. So let's go ahead to 2019, right? 2 years after this, you have $115 million guaranteed between David Price, Hanley Ramirez, Rick Porcello, Pablo Sandoval, and Dustin Pedroia. I mean, that's a lot of money.
No,
to me,
yeah,
to me that looks like it's going to be the situation that the Yankees have had the last 2 years because, I mean, to me, Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval, that's Mark Teixeira.
Right.
Dustin Pedroia is, you know, he's still a good player, but, I mean, I would guarantee that 2019, 20, 2021, they would prefer to not be paying him $15 million a year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's that you see a lot of teams in this spot. Well, like, no, I mean, Hanley and Pablo are like A-Rod, you know, almost the combined or whatever, like you said. I mean, luckily that the Yankees were only with Mark Teixeira in that spot for a year. You're going to be like that with Jacoby Ellsbury for a while now. You already are, you know, like he's through 2019. But anyway, it really extra hurts now. To be stuck with the contract, but that's why it's like really extra good news, like we were saying, that Pablo Sandoval looks okay weight wise whatever, who knows how well he'll play, and it really stinks for how good Hanley was. I used to love him, that it's so unfortunate that you have to play him at first and maybe now DH, because they signed Mitch Moreland, and we were discussing before the show, it looks like Hanley's going to DH. It stinks that you have to DH him and use that slot on him, but he's still a good enough hitter. You know, like he's a league average DH, you know, or better. But what do you think? Would you rather, though? Would you rather this offseason? Would you rather have traded Yoan Moncada? Like I at first I was like, why are they going all in for it when they have these young players? But it's like, what are you waiting for? The end game is to win a World Series. You're as close as it gets. There's no other end game. You know what I mean? Maybe you could say, well, sustained success, but they have the money to do that. Do you like that they're going for it, so to speak, this hard?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Sale, the way you look at the commodity of starting pitching, I mean, you just, it's exceedingly difficult to get that on the free agent market, and the price you have to pay is so ridiculous. So, you know, you factor into that as well, the team-friendly nature of Sale's contract. I'm glad they're going for it. I mean, that makes sense to me. They're not only potentially, you know, saving the money that they would have to pay, you know, one of the big name starting pitchers next year in the offseason, but they're also acquiring a top 10 pitcher. I don't think Sale was the, you know, ideal target for the Red Sox because they already have David Price. They already have Drew Pomeranz, so they have two lefties in their rotation already.
Sucks to trade for Drew Pomeranz and him do what he did, not play well.
So, you know, I'd prefer them to have a more balanced rotation, but, you know, Sale is a great player. I think to get a great player like that, you have to give up a prospect like Moncada.
We haven't even mentioned yet with these deals that, like, you're lucky that they may not be as bad as they look. Rick Porcello, too. Like that looked like, I thought I drafted him in my fantasy league going into last season. I was very, I'll never forgive myself for dropping him after like the first 3 weeks.
But you dropped him?
Yeah, because he really didn't. He was doing early 2015 Porcello like.
I know what you mean exactly.
But he had ended 2015 like killing it and like 8 straight start. But anyway, so he's another deal that even though it looked like it was going to be good, they signed a 27-year-old pitcher who's like, definitely got his better years ahead of him and has had success. And then now he has a great season like he did last year. Cy Young Award winning, right? Even though we wouldn't have voted for him. Well, I'll speak for myself.
I wouldn't have voted for him.
Yeah, we wouldn't have voted for him. He got it because of wins. Anyway, he's just another one of those deals that worked out. Do you think they would undo David Price like right now if they could, given that like it's like not that one start confirms it, but at least maybe for the Red Sox, it's like, oh, yeah, this is David Price in the playoffs. Like, he doesn't win, and it's real. It's something real.
Yeah, I think they would. I think the interesting thing with the Price contract is that opt-out after 2018. But 30, and then it kicks up to $32 million starting in 2020. I mean, that is just a lot of money.
How long is it until?
Until 2022.
And he can opt out at 2018.
He has the opt out.
Oh, no way.
At 2018. I don't think he's going to.
And his velocity is decreasing. They're going to be stuck with that for a while. But again, like I said, if you're a team who can afford it, I guess, and you're a team who, like the Red Sox, who are close with this amazing offense, there's no other end game. Like, there's nothing. Maybe with the soft cap, you say, oh, you want to save your money for some other stuff. But they're the favorite to win the World Series next year. Like there are the number one favorite in baseball to win the World Series.
I wouldn't pick them over the Cubs, but I understand.
Oh yeah, number two. I'm thinking of to come out of the AL. I'm sorry, you're right. They're number two, but so they're favorite to get to the World Series. Rather, you're right.
I think they would redo it because, and the thing to me with Price, you know, kind of my viewpoint on it, I think he's just like CC Sabathia. I mean, I think those last couple of years are going to be really torturous, and that is especially the time 2020, 21, and 22 when you have Bogarts, Betts, Bradley, and then even Benintendi at that time. You're going to need to pay them when they hit free agency. That $32 million could be very suffocating, even for
a
big market
team.
You just
said you think they would redo it?
I think they would undo this contract if they could.
I think so too, but I'm just defending it a little bit. I think obviously they would have to not do it again. because I think, especially if you know you get another amazing lefty, like they may have not foreseen the ability to get Chris Sale this offseason.
And they didn't have Pomerantz at that point either.
Right,
so.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
And they didn't know what Porcello was. Because remember, the big story with the Red Sox coming into this year was like their rotation was basically five number five starters.
Yeah, it was all scrubs. That is such a good point. Coming into last offseason before signing Price, it's like, right. oh, Porcello, who looked horrible, Joe Kelly, right?
Steven Wright.
Clay Buchholz, Steven Wright. I think Joe Kelly's in the bullpen now, right, as he should be. And I always, you know what else we didn't even mention? I always forget they have Craig Kimbrell.
Right.
Because I hate him. I don't like his chin strap. I don't like his stance. And is Koji Uehara still on the team? He's like 50, yo.
No, he's actually on the Cubs now.
He's still playing.
Yeah, he got signed by the Cubs.
Yo, he's awesome. I like him.
He throws that like 82-mile-an-hour sinker.
Another good thing for their future and even just for right now is Dustin Pedroia had a bounce-back year. He's only 32. Like, he seems older than he is because he's had such a good career. He was won an MVP already, right? And he's always dirty. He's a gamer.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
Dustin Pedroia is a gamer. He'll get dirty. He'll get down on the field and make those plays. You know, we used to debate if we'd rather have him or Cano. And why would you rather have Cano when you could have a white guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, as being from Boston, I really don't like dark-skinned people. And always you take the 5'7" little scrappy white guy who's willing to get dirty instead of the guy who's way better but loafs it.
Unless it's David Ortiz. He's like the one.
Yeah, he's like the epitome of everything they should hate there. That's such a good point.
He's the one like minority embraced by.
Right, right. They
Boston.
He's filled up their quota. Yeah. Like they get together and they're like, "All right, which one minority are we allowing to embrace this season?" That's funny. I wonder who's next. Jerome McGinley.
It could have been Encarnacion.
It could have been you, Encarnacion. You could have been the one. You could have been the one. So I don't know. Do you think what's your prediction for them for next year? You think they'll make the World Series?
No.
Oh, why? David Price will blow it.
I don't know. I mean,
Porcello won't win 100 games.
I think they'll make the playoffs. I mean,
what? Just because the playoffs are a crapshoot, or what?
Well, that's definitely part of it. I mean, I think that they're. Roster of position players.
Tom is making a face like when you're like, it's like, hey, honey, do I look good in this? And you're being honest and you're like, nah. Like, or that's a bad analogy because you would lie to your girlfriend. He's making a face like how's your burnt tofu steak? And you're like, it's nah. Like, he doesn't really seem pleased with the Red Sox. So elaborate on your face. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, look, their position players to me are probably the best group of young players in the game. I would probably even take them over the group on the Cubs. But to me, their bullpen, I mean, they acquired Tyler Thornburg, who is okay. I mean, he was Milwaukee's closer for a little bit. He had a pretty good season. I don't know. I mean, you know my kind of stance that in the postseason, you need a very good bullpen. I don't know. There's just this team, their manager as well. I think they're kind of stuck in this old school kind of thought. They don't really like to rest players. They don't really like to transition players who can move around. I don't know.
Yeah, I felt how you I felt like it's not the sort of what you said sort of has a like the fact that you end it with I don't know and you always are smart and can explain stuff. That's how I felt about the Blue Jays the last couple years. It's like, they're so good, their offense, but they're all righties. It was just like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't like their manager. But I think you're crazy. I think that their rotation is awesome. Whether or not they can do it in the playoffs is sure a crapshoot. But, like, you know, the fact that they're pretty definitely going to win the division, I think. I'm with everybody. Like, I mean, Drew Pomerantz is capable of being really good, even though he was bad last year. And in the postseason, like last year, they could use him as middle relief. Like, he could address the bullpen thing. Or they're a team that, you know, if they're close, they're definitely going for it. Stupid Craig Kimbrell, you know, and obviously their lineup is great. But I guess that's the thing. Like, we talked about that last time with the Astros. It's like, if you're a lineup-reliant team, which I don't even think it's fair to say about the Red Sox now with Sale, Price, and Porcello. But if you say that they're a lineup-reliant team, then that could go either way in the playoffs. But that's a good thing in a way. It's like you'd rather just be feast or famine in the playoffs than average winning 1.2 series a season or whatever. So I don't know. We're about done. But I hope Pablo could lay off the donuts, you fatty.
I hope he doesn't. But
oh yeah, you're a Yankees fan. Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, and I think we've obviously touched on this. I mean, Dombrowski is a GM that really likes to wheel and deal. They've totally depleted their farm system. I mean, they only really have one prospect left, Rafael Devers, who's at Double A, who's a third baseman. Other than that, I mean, they've traded everyone away, which, like you said, I mean, you want to go for it, and you acquire Sale. You acquire Kimbrel last offseason. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, they have this good young core of players, but I think that their window is a lot tighter than a lot of people think,
yeah, but
and maybe even
is,
what it should be.
But you are so lost. Their window, this window, Tom, this window is short. But they could have another window like they did in 2013. The year before, they got rid of Kyle Crawford. They got rid of Adrian Gonzalez. They got rid of Josh Beckett, right? You know what I'm saying? They're capable of having multiple windows per decade. My Boston accent is off today, but you're right. I would agree with you that their window this time may be slightly narrow, but like I'm saying, they could have another one. But you like we said, the kicker is their the soft cap. You know, it's not a hard cap. It's a hard.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting sort of situation that's not going to happen again, because you're not going to get the Dodgers taking Hanley Ramirez at $22 million. Nobody's going to give Pablo Sandoval $18.6 million. And you got to remember, the Red Sox are still paying part of the salary for some of those players. So, you know, it was a salary dump. It was good for the Red Sox, but...
But say they want to rebuild their farm, they could just, like, in a couple years or even after, say they're bad or really disappointing this next year or in 2018, they could trade Bogaerts or Mookie and get back a Yoan Moncada and some, you know what I mean? They could get back. They could rebuild their farm
possible.
Again. Like, it goes both ways if you believe that these trades are somewhat equal value. Except, obviously, when you're getting the veteran like Chris Sale, the player's older, so their value is good for a less while. All right, we're done. Anything else?
No, I think that the one other thing that we're kind of forgetting, too, is how good the free agent class is the next two off seasons.
And they're going to miss out.
They're going to miss out on that. We have, you know, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. I mean, the list goes on and on. Nolan Arenado, and they are going to miss out on that.
But maybe they won't. Maybe they, like I said, maybe they could package. Like, yo, they could package. Like, yo, I'll give you Mookie. I'll give you this Mook. And I'll give you this, you know, you got to take Pablo. I'll give you Xander Bogaerts. There's like a caller in the fan. It's like, hey, Mike, I think the Red Sox should make a trade. I think they should give Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and... Hanley Ramirez for Mike Trout or something. I don't
they
know.
Should package Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrel to the Alabama Hillbillies.
I hate them. All right, thank you guys. Please write a review. Bye.